Psalms 29, 3 through 10. Are you glad you're here? Amen. Amen. If you're a visitor, we want to welcome you here. Hey, don't you like when you invite somebody to church and they show up? Man, I got my buddy Marshall here. I don't call him my buddy, but Johnny messed up and said, was your buddy here? I said, yeah. Man, it's so good to have him and his wife with us. Amen. Man, you come in contact with people, and some people are special to you. So that's all I'm going to say because I don't want to get all sappy. But Psalms 29 and 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. I've talked about this before. We think that God has a deep voice. This may be why. Because his voice thunders. And I've never heard thunder sound like this ever. It's usually pretty powerful. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like the young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord setteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord setteth king forever. You can go ahead and be seated. Man, there's something about the voice of God. If you've never heard the voice of God, you can hear God's voice. Despite what some theologians may say, God still speaks. And I know he speaks through his word. I know that. But he also has a voice that will speak to you still today. Once the canon of scripture was closed, we don't need to hear from God anymore outside of his word. You still need to hear the voice of God because it's powerful. It speaks. He that hath an ear, as Brother Eddie said last night, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. So you need to have an ear so that you can hear what God says. Our voice. Several weeks ago, we talked about sheep hearing voice, and I let you hear a recording. I called my grandbaby. I called her mom. I mean, I was calling her, but I had to go through her mom. And it's amazing. I love you too, Taylor. But it's amazing that she can hear me and not see me, and she says, pop, 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 without ever seeing me. Because of my voice. She's never, I don't think ever, confused Tracy for me. Because she recognizes the voice. There is power in recognizing the voice of God. And Brother Eddie, we need to hear from God. You'll have a situation in your life. Something's going on that's unique to you. And God's voice can speak into your situation. He said, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. How powerful is God's voice? There are people that I would like to hear their voice one more time. There's people that I've had in my life that I would like to call and hear their voice. If I could just hear their voice one more time. And it's amazing that I think about them. And I do this, Brother Eddie. I think about Kathleen a lot. But it seems that when I hear Tracy listening to something with her voice, it affects me in a different way. Can you say amen? Something about the voice. Well, God is a speaking God. We understand that. He could have just thought the world into existence, but he didn't. He spoke it. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So we have a speaking God. And because God is a speaking God, and we've learned just a few minutes ago, we're his children, we should be speaking children. We too should speak God's word. But as we read in scripture, we find out between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is what theologians call the 400 years of, it's darkness, it's silence. The reason it's dark is because it's silent. God doesn't speak between the Old Testament and New Testament. We can debate how long it was. Some people say it was one day without hearing the voice of God is too long. So imagine 400 years. I want to give you a few scriptures so that you can follow this. Malachi 4:4-6. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with my statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming, listen to these words, before the coming of the great and dreadful. How can it be both? How can the day of the Lord be both great and dreadful? When I've got something great in my life, I never say, this is so dreadful, it's great. And when I have something great going on, I never say, this is so great, it's dreadful. But this day, the coming of the Lord would be great and dreadful. It would be dreadful for him, but it would be great for us. It would be sorrowful for him, but it would be joyful for us. Can you say amen? Let me tell you this. Salvation doesn't cost you anything, but that doesn't mean that it was free. Somebody paid for it. And I'm glad to know that Jesus paid for my sins. What a great and dreadful day of the Lord. He said, before that happens, though, I'll send unto you Elijah the prophet. Verse 6, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The last word of the Old Testament is curse. He's talking about sending John the Baptist, who is this Elijah, that would prepare the way, that would make the way for the king to come. He would be the herald. What a herald would do is he would go out before the king. As a king would come to your town, the herald would go out and blow the trumpet, and he would say, prepare ye the way of the king. What he wanted them to do is they would go out and they would say, make your paths straight. When the king came to town, he didn't want to go around curves. So let me say it like this. The king would not go to Basoka. The king would not go down the mountain, as we call it, because it's too curvy. It'd say, make straight the paths. And if they didn't get the road just right, the king would turn around and go the other direction. So John the Baptist is this herald, and he goes before Jesus, our king, and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Make his way straight. Make the paths straight. Get ready, because the king is coming. He was that herald. But between the Old Testament and New Testament, there is no open vision. There is no voice. It's silent. And let me tell you what happens when God goes silent. You better watch him, because he's up to something. When God goes silent, the Bible says that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Look at the person beside you and say, nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. So, Marshall, if I was to ask God, what are you up to? Nothing? No, that's impossible. Nothing. God is never just doing nothing. I call people from time to time, hey, what are you into? Nothing. You can never, listen to this, this is good. You'll never call God and ask him, what are you doing? And he's going to give you nothing. Because God is always up to something. And if you watch him in those 400 years of silence, the devil would say, we're not going to hear from him again. He shut up the heaven. You're not going to hear that voice again. I'm here to tell you, when God goes quiet, you better look out, because something's coming, and it's going to be something great. The woman came to Jesus, and she said, I need you. And the Bible says this, he answered her not a word. Can you imagine that rejection? You go to Jesus. I've got a need, Jesus. And the Bible says he answered her not a word. To be ignored by some people don't bother us to be too bad. But to be ignored by Jesus would be heart crushing. Have you ever talked to somebody and they don't talk back? Have you ever said to somebody, hey, how are you? And they go. And you look at them and you say, you don't say it out loud. You think it in your head. You better be glad I'm a Christian. You ever got into a spirited debate, that's an argument, with your spouse, and they go quiet on you? Does anybody ever got the silent treatment from somebody you love? Ethan's back there like, yeah, we ain't been married that long, and it's already happened, brother. Me. I'm sorry, he raised his hand. I had to call him out. Man, I would rather Tracy just fuss than go silent. You ever, what's the matter with you? Just say it. Just say it. And then finally, you muster up the nerve to tell him you're sorry. You men know what I'm talking about. You just want at the end. And you say, I'm sorry. And they say, for what? You're lucky I said it. Just take it. I don't know for what. I did something you won't tell me. Don't go silent. Whatever you do, don't go silent. I love my wife, but I'd rather her go silent any day than Jesus go silent. I'd rather not hear from my spouse or my children, but Jesus, please don't go silent on me. I got to hear from you, Lord. Of everybody on this planet, I need to hear from you. Don't go silent on me. Jesus, if I've done something wrong, tell me. I want to make it right. Oh, man, God is so awesome in his power. Psalms 28 and 1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not to me. Be not, watch what he says. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go to the pit. That's heavy. Where are you going? To the pit. Why? Jesus won't talk to me, so I'm just going to the pit. That's how important it is. Oh, let me tell you, if you don't hear from him for a while, you'll start falling apart too. You'll wind up in places that you shouldn't be either. He never ordained you to be in the pit. But when you don't hear from him, oh, there you do some crazy stuff. That's why it's important to come to church, hear the preaching. Why? Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I got to hear from him. I got to hear from him. Well, I'm just saying, how are you? Well, I'm in the pits. Because you hadn't heard from him. He goes silent for 400 years. But boy, when he starts talking, things start happening. There's no open vision for 400 years. And Brother Eddie, when he began to talk, when the word began to come forth, it changed testaments. Oh, let me say that again. Quiet for 400. I say this, and I'm not sure that I can prove it scientifically. But it had never rained. And the Bible said there was a mist that went up from the earth and watered the garden. How cool would that be? God had a built-in sprinkler system in the garden until Adam sinned. And I don't know how long that mist went up, but I know this about vapor. When it goes up, it builds up. And it just keeps building up and building up and building up. And it had never rained before. And when it finally did, it didn't just sprinkle. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. What are you saying? I'm saying it might be quiet. You just keep sending up the vapor. You just keep praising him and lifting him up. You might not hear anything, but I'm here to tell you, when God's quiet, he said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing that you can't contain. Keep sending it up. I haven't heard from the Lord in a while. Keep praising him. Keep praising him. Keep lifting him up. I'm telling you, you want to get his attention? Lift him up. Lift him up. Praise him. God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. He said, God, don't you go silent on me. Don't you dare go silent on me. If the husband goes silent, okay. But God, you can't go silent on me because I'm going to wind up back in the pit if I don't hear your voice. I don't need to go to church to go to heaven. I need church to go to work. I need church to go to Walmart. We work with some heathens, don't we? She's sitting there saying, yeah, he's one of them. Man, you need Jesus to go to Walmart, to drive through traffic. Amen. Amen. Yes, some of y'all are smiling because y'all are guilty. That's me, preacher. That's me. I need him. I need to hear from God. He said, give us this day our daily bread. daily bread. You know how often you need to hear from him? Daily. Daily. But man, I want to talk to you. If you haven't heard from him for a while, that don't mean you can't. I'm sure in those 400 years that went through, I'm sure the enemy said, God's not talking anymore. But then God got ready to talk. Said, I need you, Jesus. He answered her not a word. He ignored her. Man, that gets you. That gets you. He just, and he looked at her and called her a dog. It's not meat for me. It's, I can't take the bread from the children's table and cast it to the dogs. But he's talking. He's talking. And she didn't stop. She says, true, Lord, that's true. But even the dogs can eat the crumbs from the master's table. Oh, there's a conversation going on with Jesus right here. Oh, he ignored her at first, didn't hear from him at first. But when he started talking, things began to happen. He said, I've not seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. And he blessed her. It may be silent right now, devil, but I know he's about ready to talk again. Oh, man. Job had this problem. Job 23 and 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. Have you ever been there? When you're looking for God and you can't find him? Have you ever been searching for an answer? God, I need you. And I need you right now, God, right now. I can't wait till tomorrow. And he's still silent? Have you ever been in a spot where you're praying for God to do something? You better be glad that God hasn't answered every one of your prayers. Some of y'all would be married to a crazy woman. And it looks like God answered some of y'all's. You pray. And you say, God, I need this. I need this. God, I know that I need this. And God goes silent. Oh, man. And you think, oh, he's got it out for me. God don't love me. God won't give me what I want. Listen, when God goes silent, something's getting ready to happen. When 400 years, he went silent on that one. But I want you to watch what happens. This is Silent Saturday. This is Holy Saturday. And man, let me tell you what happens on Saturday, Dustin. Nobody wants to preach Saturday. Because the crucifixion happens on Friday. I mean, tomorrow. To all the preachers in our church, I love you, but I get tomorrow. I mean, everybody wants to preach on Easter. It's the Super Bowl of Christianity. It's like the apex of what it's all about. I appreciate Christmas and the birth and all that, but man, tomorrow. But on Saturday, what do you preach about? It's quiet. All the disciples are hiding. I found something to preach about. When it goes quiet, get ready. Oh, when you don't hear anything, get ready. When it seems like it's over, get ready. When you haven't heard from him for a while, get ready. Oh, it might be silent Saturday, but Sunday is coming. Hold on. Hold on. Job said, I looked for him. I searched for him. I went forward. He wasn't there. I couldn't find him. Oh, I got to do this. This ain't even in my notes. I think it's Isaiah. Maybe it's 61. Maybe I'm wrong. We're going to find it. Help me, Sam, if I'm wrong. I got Isaiah 61. Let's try there. Isaiah 60. Give me Edom. Who is this that cometh from Edom? Where's that at? Somebody. Get your phone. Hurry. Time out. Commercial break. I got to tell y'all this. This ain't in my notes, but I got to give it to you before we leave. Anybody find it? Which one is that? Isaiah what? 63. I knew it was the 60s. I should have went and just kept going. Who is this? Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? Here's the answer. He answers the question. Ah, And I believe it sounded like this, that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. I just think that's how he talks. Because his voice thunders. Eddie, you do a better job with that. That guy's so deep. His voice so deep you can smell his feet. Is that how it goes? Something like that? I messed that joke all up. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? Edom was the enemy of the people of God. The lifelong enemy. They fought a Mike over and over and over and over and over. Bozra was the capital city of Edom. So if my enemy is the devil and we fight principalities and powers, his capital must be hell. Amen. Where's the devil's capital city? Hell and Las Vegas. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? He said, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. So watch this. They're like, who is this coming from my enemy's camp? Who is this coming out of the capital city of my enemy? Who is this that's coming out? He said, it's me. I'm mighty to save. Eddie, when he goes silent, I'm glad to know that he's down there in the enemy's camp fighting my enemy. When I don't hear him, he's down there fighting my battle. I know where he is. He's fighting for me. Oh, man. Glorious in his apparel. Next verse. Oh, this gets gooder. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? Why are you red for? Why are you red and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine? Looks like you're covered in something red. Why are you that way? He said, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. I want you to know, when those disciples began to fall off and follow afar off, this prophecy was fulfilled. There was none with me. There was nobody with me. But he said, I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there ain't no devil in hell that this king can't overcome, and it seems like it's quiet on the surface. Oh. When my beloved Tracy gets really mad at me, she gets quiet on the surface, but I know underneath. I know underneath there's all kinds of verbiage. Anybody? You can just look at them. Oh, on the surface, it looks quiet. But there's a lot going on that we don't see on Saturday. There's a lot that we don't see on Saturday. On the surface, it's quiet. But let me tell you what hell is doing. It's tore up. He said, and I will stain all my raiment. Oh, he wore a kingly robe, but he stained it for you. That's my king. Watch this next verse. For the day of vengeance is in my heart. Whew. If you're a shouter, you ought to shout right here. And the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Oh, man. I think I'll dance right here. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I think this is the last verse. And I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel. Where is he when it's quiet? He's in your enemy's camp fighting your enemy. Where's he at when I can't hear him? It's silent on the surface. I'm here to tell you, he's down in the enemy's camp fighting my battle. We used to sing a song and it went like this. It said, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. I took it back, took back. I'm back myself up. Y'all know the song? I took back what he stole from me. I got it better than y'all. I said, he went to the enemy's camp and he took back. I didn't even have to go. I'm standing there wondering who this is bringing this stuff to me. And he says, it's me. I got it for you. I know you thought I was quiet. I wasn't being quiet. I went down to your enemy's camp. I took back what he stole from you. Here it is. We used to sing that song like it was a one-day journey to the enemy's camp. Took you a lot longer to lose it. You can't get it back anyway. You might as well let him. I got to hurry. Ephesians. I got to get off this. That was a sidebar. That wasn't even part of the sermon. That didn't cost you anything. You got that for free. Man, how awesome is that? Who is this? It's me. It's me. Why didn't you tell me he was going? You wouldn't believe me. We've been fighting the devil forever. Well, I defeated him. You don't believe it? Let's do it real quick. Y'all ready? Ephesians 4, 8 through 10. And I'll be done. Ephesians 4, 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Who is that talking about? Who are these people that were captive, that he captivated? When you do that, it means it's getting good. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man. Watch this. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first? Where? Into the lower parts of the earth. I don't know if you know what's in the lower parts of the earth, but there was a place that was created for the devil and his angels, and it's in the lower part of the earth. So on Friday, he was talking on the cross and on the surface. And on Sunday, we'll find out he's talking on the surface. But on Saturday, he's in the lower parts of the earth. And it ain't surface talk, but I want to serve notice to you. When Jesus showed up in hell, he showed up to take back what the enemy had stole. Glory. Who'd he go after? The Old Testament saints. In a holding place. You don't believe that? Watch what happens. I'll tell you tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. I'll tell you the rest of it. For y'all that can't make it tomorrow, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. When he got up, when he resurrected on Easter, his grave wasn't the only one busting open. Read your Bible, and you're going to find out that grave started popping open all over Jerusalem. Who's up walking around? Those Old Testament saints. Why? Because he descended into the lower parts. And let me tell you something about Jesus. He stripped the devil of death. Oh, he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he walked out. And you thought he was being quiet. There ain't nothing quiet about my Jesus. Whoever named this Silent Saturday didn't read the Bible. Oh, glory. Now he ascended, but all right, verse 10. This is a lot of descending and ascending, but get this. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might feel all things. Oh, I got to do it. Come on, musicians, so they'll know I'm really serious about quitting. I got this one marked. John 20, Shane. I know that I didn't send you this. John 20. Let's start. Let's start with verse 11. Y'all okay with that? Everybody good? Anybody need to go anywhere? Don't worry, Walmart's will still be open when you get out of here. I got to get my ham, preacher. We're having Easter dinner tomorrow, and I got to get some vinegar. That's the only thing I remember about Easter as a kid. It smelled like vinegar. Happy Easter. No, thank you. It burns my eyes. Y'all had that same kit, didn't you? Now they just put stickers on them. It's way better. It smells way better. Anyway, let's get going. But Mary stood without. What was she doing out there? She's weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked. She looks into the sepulcher and she says, watch this. She's seen two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet. Listen, people, this is a picture of the Ark of the Covenant. Two angels, that's not by happen chance. That wasn't an accident. I'm glad you're sitting here. You're good to lean on. Where the body of Jesus was, now they're there. Next verse. And they said to her, woman, why weepest thou? I know why she's crying. I know why she's crying. Because just a couple days earlier, they're saying, Hosanna. And now she can't talk to him. Come on, it's the thing that we dread most about death. Tracy, when I die, you're going to cry because you're going to miss talking to me. Because I promise, can't nobody make her laugh like I can. We've been together so long, some people can just say something and we'll look at each other. That makes people nervous, by the way, when you do that. What? What? What are you laughing at? Nothing. Woman, why are you weeping? I know why she's weeping. She can't talk to him. I know a few days from now she's going to say, if I could just hear his voice one more time. If I could just call him up and hear him talk one more time. The silence kills me. I want to talk to him again. Because they have taken away my Lord and I know not where they've laid him. I don't know where he's at. He's gone. He's gone. I'm going to tell you why she went to that grave. She went there to anoint him and talk to him. It's why we all go back and visit the graves. It's because we want to have a conversation again. But it's quiet. She hears a voice, but she doesn't realize yet. And he plays along. Next verse. Okay, here we go. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Listen to this. He's talking, but she's not hearing him. I said he's talking, but she's not hearing him. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Oh, when he said her name, something changed. when he called her name. Can I tell you this? You can be in a service. You can be lost. You can be, Jesus is talking to other people. Preaching's coming forth. The word's coming forth. And you don't hear any of it. But oh, when he calls your name, thing changes. Anybody remember the night that Jesus called your name out of the middle of the crowd? He said your name. He called you. When he called you, all that which was silent begins to become heard. And when you hear his voice, she said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. I want to talk to you for just a minute. I'm Baptist roots, back to Baptist roots. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If it's been a while since you've heard from Jesus, would you slip your hand up? If it's been a while since you've heard his voice, would you slip your hand up and say, that's me. I haven't really talked to him in a while. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's me, preacher. I haven't heard his voice in a while. That's me. That's me. Thank you. I'm here to tell you that the devil said he's not going to talk to you anymore. I'm here to tell you the devil's a liar. After 400 years of lies, Jesus started talking again. After one surface silent Saturday, Jesus gets up on Sunday and he starts talking. If you raised your hand, and if you didn't and you should have, I want to give you an opportunity to start that conversation with him again. Well, preacher, let me tell you what happened to me. I prayed and I asked God to do something. He didn't do it. I'm going to tell you why he didn't do it. Because he's got something better for you. Do you need to open up that dialogue with him? Do you need to start hearing his voice again? Do like the woman, that Gentile woman that he didn't even talk to. Would you start talking to him? Maybe you want to step out from where you're at. Come to the altar. Let me tell you what's going to happen. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray with you. If you step out right now and you come to the altar, if God's calling your name, if he's calling your name, and you hear him calling, would you step out? I promise there's nobody in this room going to look down on you. As a matter of fact, we're all going to applaud. We're going to applaud you for stepping out and answering that call. Would you come? Don't walk out of here the same way you walked in. I want to hear from him, preacher. I want to hear from him. Would you open up that conversation? If you're here tonight and you're saved, oh, aren't you glad you can talk to him? Would you stand to your feet right now? Just say, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to praise you. God, I want to lift you up. I want to give you glory. I want to talk to you, Lord. Go ahead, Aaron, as we sing, would you respond?